Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship here at Kemnay Parish Church. A warm welcome to all who are here, whether for the first time or the 100th time. We are delighted to have you with us here for worship today. We have a few intimations to share at the start of our time together. It's a bit hard to believe, but Kylie's time with us is soon to be finishing, just a few more weeks to go. And we'll be having a shared supper on Sunday, the 2nd of June, at the church center at 5 p.m. to celebrate Kylie's time and her ministry with us. Please come along to that event and to say au revoir to Kylie and to give a warm welcome to our incoming parish assistant, Mr. David Hendricks. And names will be taken for that event. I believe, Shirley, you'll be taking names after service today. Is that correct? She's nodding yes, so that's a good sign. A reminder as well that for Christian Aid to please hand in sponsorship money soon and also to hand in Smarty Tubes by the end of June. And as we know, I was away on holiday during most of Christian Aid week, including for the jog walk, but I have photographic evidence and video evidence that the four-legged member of my family took part in the jog walk and he ran a total of 17 laps. So now Heather and I are on the hook for that sponsorship money, I was told. Money well spent. And also we've seen the photos circulating beforehand that Kylie, along with David and Judith Bale and with Noel Lord, also supported Christian Aid with Kylie that you walked. Which Monroe did you walk, Kylie? Loch Nagar. So you climbed and walked Loch Nagar in support of Christian Aid. So well done for that, Kylie. And well done to all who supported Christian Aid throughout the week at the jog walk and at the event yesterday at the church center. We're so grateful for every bit of support we get for such an excellent cause. So please do get your sponsorship monies and your Smarty Tubes in as soon as possible so we can tabulate the full amount that we have raised for Christian Aid. Yes, Leslie.
But the money raised yesterday is well over £700.
Woo-hoo! That's really excellent. Thank you all who helped contribute to that excellent sum of money raised for Christian Aid.
We're doing things a bit different today. In the gracious sign of baptism, we are reminded that we can love God only because God first loved us. With the pouring of these waters, we are reminded of God's abundant mercy for all who trust in Jesus Christ. And as we enter into worship together, may God help us to live into our true identities as daughters and sons of God. Those who have been called, claimed, and redeemed by Jesus, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. And let us worship God now with singing our first hymn of praise to Him, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. And during the singing of this hymn, your offering for God's continued work will be uplifted.
Jesus.
Let us pray. Living God, you are the fount of every blessing. You are the source of true and lasting life. Everything we are, everything that we have, everything we will be, it is all sheer gift. It is all grace, free, unmerited grace from you for us. Gathered here today in Kemne for worship, we are grateful for the freedom we have to worship as followers of Jesus Christ. We are grateful for all the benefits and blessings that we have. Help us, Lord, every day, never to take such things for granted, but to always remember that we live, move, and we breathe only because you love us and you allow it to be so. Help us to treat every day as an amazing gift given to us by you. Lord, we own nothing that we have. It all truly belongs to you. But in this time, we have returned but a portion of what you have given to us. We pray your blessing upon the offerings we have presented today. We pray your blessing on our entire lives as we seek to follow Jesus Christ in word and in deed. Help us every day to become more and more like him. May your Holy Spirit cause us to be born anew each and every day. As a sign of our faith and our confidence in you, Lord Jesus Christ, in the good work that you are doing in each of us, we now join our voices together in the words that you taught us to say. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The reading this morning will be found on page 1002 of the Church Bible, and it is taken from Mark chapter 1, verses 9 to 15. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. As Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." At once the Spirit sent him out into the desert, and he was in the desert for 40 days, being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals, and angels attended him. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. "The time has come," he said. "The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news." May God bless this reading of his word.
Thank you, Ishbel. We now sing our next hymn of praise, "I, the Lord of Sea and Sky."
I'm we have today to learn more about you, to learn who you are, who we are called to be. Will you open our hearts and our minds to hear your word today? Amen. When Josh and I sat down to plan this series, we wanted to do something a little bit different. Different in what we said and how we said it. So when I decided to talk about the windows behind us, the north window, it gave us a really nice opportunity to do something a bit more imaginative. And so today, as you can see, the setup is a little bit different. The font is in the middle, and Josh and I are both going to be sitting having a conversation about what does baptism mean for us as a Christian church? How do the different aspects of baptism teach us who we are? And so as we begin looking at this window, we're looking at the central pane today. The one that at the top shows Jesus' baptism, and at the bottom shows Jesus in glory. And there must be something that relates those two stories together, baptism and glory. In the top, we see the key events of the text we just read in Mark. We see John the Baptist on the right-hand side with his camel hair tunic and Jesus kneeling in the Jordan River. And John is baptizing Jesus. He's beginning Jesus' ministry. And wrapped around John is in Latin what says Ecce Agnus Dei, behold the Lamb of God. This is what John says when he realizes who Jesus is. Not only the Lamb of God, but the promised Messiah. These are the words of promise that John delivers when he realizes who Jesus is. And if that isn't clear enough, we also see the dove centered above both of them. The symbol of the Holy Spirit coming down and dwelling on and in Jesus. And those words from heaven say, behold, this is my beloved Son, who I love. In him I am well pleased. There's something in this act of baptism that pleases God. And pleases God because it's Jesus. That not even the Son of God is exempt from baptism. So today we're going to look at why these two stories are so important, baptism and glory. And we see baptism as being grafted into this life of glory, as this beginning of a Christian life.
Kylie, thank you for drawing our attention to the window, that art can be such a wonderful visual teacher for us and the content of our faith. So start, in light of what you said about the scriptural passage and about this window, start with a question that, how does this story from Mark and this window, both of which depict Jesus' baptism audibly and visually, how would you say they relate to our own faith journeys?
Yeah, I think especially when we look at the book of Mark, we see that it's the very first story Mark decides to tell about Jesus. Is his baptism.
Is your mic on?
I think so. Can you all hear me?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll make sure it's on. It is on. Good. We see it as this very first story that Mark decides to tell about Jesus. And these glass artists somehow also realize that it's a central story to who Jesus is. This is the central pane in this window, just like Jesus' baptism is this central story in his character and his identity. We see his baptism as the beginning of Jesus' ministry. Baptism begins what he was called to do. He doesn't do anything before his baptism. And we see that the very first time that Jesus is spoken about, he is called, named, and sent out by God. Jesus is called to submit his will to the Father. He is named as the beloved Son, and then he's sent out. And those things that he's sent out to do begin immediately. I don't think it's coincidence that immediately after Jesus' baptism, he's suddenly in the desert being tempted by Satan. It's this way of God saying these huge spiritual highs that we have are almost always followed by something really difficult or some way that they're tested. And Jesus himself isn't exempt from these difficulties. This baptism that begins his ministry also begins the difficult part of his life. And I think those two things are significant. Our baptism begins our Christian life, but also encourages our Christian life. Those difficult times that every single one of us is going to come into contact with are encouraged by the decision that we've made in our baptisms to begin this life that has Jesus as its center. There's a really beautiful way that this man called Cyril of Alexandria, he's one of the ancient church fathers, probably from around the 4th century, and he describes baptism and its relation to evil and to sin. And he says, when you renounce Satan in your baptism, you trample underfoot the entire covenant with him and abrogate your former treaty with hell. The gates of paradise are open to you, that garden which God planted in the east. When you turn from west to east, the region of light, you symbolize this change of allegiance.
Could you read that again?
Yeah. It's this beautiful quote that talks about how this change happens when we're baptized. No longer do we belong to this part of the world that's overrun by sin and evil, but we belong to a new part. And so Cyril says, when you renounce Satan, you trample underfoot your entire covenant with him. You abrogate your former treaty with hell. They're pretty harsh words. And then he says, but the gates of paradise are now open to you, that garden which God planted in the east. When you turn from west to east, your old life to your new life, the region of light, you symbolized this change of allegiance. Baptism is this great change of allegiance where now you're God's. God has called and claimed and named you as his own in this act of baptism, where you stand up before all of us and you say, I am dedicated to this new life and I want people to know about that. And God claims you as his own. It's this great exchange of identity because now you're considered God's. And so baptism defines us as people, as Christian people, and it becomes the beginning of our Christian life. But I think also there are different kinds of baptisms and other forces that shape us as people. So Josh, what other kinds of forces can shape us in different kinds of baptisms?
Mm-hmm. That's a great question, Kylie. Thanks. And you rightly said that Christian baptism is a powerful sign of the beginning of our path of discipleship as followers of Jesus. It's when we, as a sign of belonging to God, being of God's, of the kingdom of heaven. And I think in our kind of culture, our, broadly speaking, our westernized culture, we often treat baptism, or sometimes we call it a christening, it's the same thing really, it's often treated as an isolated event, even as some type of cultural passage. Sometimes I've heard people refer to it as getting the way and done, right? Or perhaps something to appease grandparents. These are all reasons that I've heard for why people have sought out baptism. Not the only reasons, but some reasons. And in my ministry, I've also had people tell me when I ask them, so why do you want to be baptized? Why do you want your child baptized? And some people have responded, I want my child baptized so that God will love them. I've heard that said on multiple occasions. And it might go without saying, I hope we're listening, that God's love for us does not depend on getting sprinkled or on getting dunked, right? It depends on Jesus Christ and all that he has done and is doing for us. But there's quite a bit of confusion around there about the nature and meaning of Christian baptism. And we'll say more about this later, but the meaning of the word baptism, baptizo in the Greek original in the New Testament, means to cover or to immerse. And so at the beginning of the path of discipleship, we are covered in the waters of baptism to show that our whole selves belong to God. There's no aspect of our lives that should not be shaped by our faith. And whether we realize it or not, though, we as people were baptized here at the font, but we're also baptized in many different ways throughout our lives. Along with our Christian baptism, we're also immersed in the metaphorical waters of cultural baptism. We're immersed in our cultures on a daily basis. And each of us has been baptized into our home cultures. Kylie, you and I were both born in the United States, mm-hmm. right? And from the earliest age, we were both immersed in what we would call American values or the American way, right? Thinking of Superman, truth, justice, and the American way and all that. And we come from this kind of country, and from a young age, we take these kinds of beliefs we have for granted because we're immersed in these ideas, right? Ideas like freedom of speech, freedom of religion, and all these kinds of things. And we take these as beliefs that are just the way things are. So we're immersed in these beliefs. And I think the same can be said about UK culture, whether it's English, Scottish, Northern Irish, or Welsh, that where we come from, where we grow up, who we're surrounded by, they all have powerful formational influences on who we are as people, for good or for ill. And it goes even further. This kind of cultural baptism that we encounter every single day can also shape our values throughout our lives. I'd like to see a show of hands. Who here has ever been to New York City? Right? Quite a few, okay? Who's ever been to London before? Oh, more hands up, of course. So who's been to Trafalgar Square? Yeah? Times Square? Yeah, quite a few. Okay. I still remember the first time I went to New York City, and I went down to the heart of it in Times Square. And what do you see all around you in Trafalgar Square or in Times Square? What's all around you? Say again? Advertisements. Great answer. That's right. So you're immersed. You are being, when you go down there, you are baptized. You are immersed in the mentality of capitalism. Right? Buying, spending, consuming, right? All about, and capitalism is all about maximizing the amount of money and resources that we possess. And whether directly or indirectly, we are immersed in the idea from a youngest age that the more we have, the more meaning our lives have as well, right? And the less we have, the less meaning our lives have. That's a type of cultural baptism that we encounter. And more often than not, these other kinds of baptisms seek to draw us away from our deeper identity as baptized daughters and sons of God. But every day presents us with a choice. At the start of the service, we did something different. What did we do at the start of the service today?
Poured water in.
Poured the water into the basin, right? As a reminder of the Christian baptism that we have. Every day is a new choice, a new chance. When we get out of bed, we walk out our front door, will we seek to live into this baptism here and all that it means to follow Jesus, or will we be carried away in the waters of lesser baptisms, of cultural baptism, of values that do not fit with the values of God's kingdom? The reality is, friends, that Christian baptism means that we must live differently. We must live purposefully as followers of Jesus Christ. We cannot enter into these waters here and then live just like we lived beforehand. Right? The Holy Spirit comes into our lives. We are born again as new creations. So as baptized people, we are called to live in such ways. So will we immerse ourselves in Jesus, or will we allow ourselves to be immersed in the other lesser waters of cultural baptism? The choice is ours every single day. And so we all face all kinds of baptisms. right? So in light of these baptisms we face, Kylie, what would you say, how do we live out our Christian baptism?
Yeah, we have talked already how baptism is a beginning, but baptism is always a daily transformation, mm-hmm. in the sense of every single day we choose to live out the life our baptism calls us to. Just as baptism symbolizes the death of the old self and the beginning of our new lives with Christ, it also means that every day is a choice to live into this new life, the daily process of living this Christ-centered life. And one of my favorite quotes, Tertullian, another ancient father, says, "Christians are made, not born." The sense of it's a daily call to become Christian. We don't suddenly just become the perfect Christian and have it all figured out, because none of us ever will. But every day is a choice to say, in light of my baptism, in light of the promise that I have made to God, and the fact that God has called me and claimed me as his own, how do I now live? And as we talk about this, God is teaching us more and more every single day how we become Christians, how we live out this daily baptism. One of my favorite writers says, "Baptism is both a discrete event in a person's life, something that happens to you." We'll see later today the discrete event that happens. But he says, "It's also a lifelong process of growing up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ." Every day is growing up more and more in our faith. And as we've been talking, Jesus has been giving us an example of how to do this in our lives. Luke 9 says, "Take up your cross daily and follow me." It's a daily call to live out this kind of life that Christ himself modeled for us. But the question then becomes, how do we do that? How does that daily decision actually play out in our lives? And as Josh spoke about earlier, we live in a world that culturally baptizes us all the time, which hits on an important point. We become what we love. Our cultural baptisms turn us towards a variety of other sources of misplaced meaning. But Christian baptism should turn us toward Christ, toward loving Christ. And St. Clair, who yet again is another ancient church mother, if you haven't caught on, I really like the really old church founders, but she says something really beautiful about exactly this point, that we become what we love. We become what we love, and who we love shapes what we become. If we love things, we become a thing. If we love nothing, we become nothing. Imitation, then, is not a literal mimicking of Christ. Rather, it means becoming the image of the beloved, an image disclosed through transformation. This means we are to become vessels of God's compassionate love for others. Imitation of Christ is one part, but what she's saying is we're transformed into the image of the beloved every single day in the choices that we make, in the things that we decide to be baptized by. And so what she's really saying is if we become what we love, we form liturgies or habits of worship around the things that we love. So the question that comes out of this is, do I love the right things? Do I love in the right proportions? How is my love being directed? And those are questions we ask about things all the time in relation to family or hobbies or time management or any of these other things that we have to think about every day. How are we ordering our lives to not only love God, but to love other people? And inevitably, we don't love rightly. It's part of what makes us human. We can't do it perfectly. And it might feel like looking at baptism as a daily transformation is almost impossible. But I think what it also does is it calls us to daily grace. Every day is a new opportunity for grace, to live out a day that maybe yesterday didn't go so well, but today we have God's grace enough to start again. And so this daily transformation tells us about new opportunities for grace, because God is a God of forgiveness who daily calls you to living out our baptisms. And we've talked now about baptism being the beginning, and is about becoming, but what about the aim or the goal of baptism? Mm-hmm. Can you go into that a little bit, Josh?
Yeah, I sure can. Thanks, Kylie. Yeah, so we talked about beginning and becoming, and you know everything you said, Kylie, is I think is spot on about the way we the becoming in baptism. And there's also the goal of baptism, or the completion of baptism. And if we read Scripture carefully, I think we see that the completion of baptism, if baptism is a lifelong event that we live into, when does our baptism become complete? When we die, right? The death is the completion of baptism. That might sound depressing, but it's not, right? It's the fulfillment of the life that we lead here on earth. And it means that up until the point that we pass away, that every day is a new opportunity to live more and more as a disciple of Jesus. That even if we made many mistakes before, and we all have, that every day we have is a chance to begin again and to live into our identities as disciples of Jesus. And the whole journey is not complete until the journey is complete. So there's a lot of hope for each and every one of us, even if bad things have happened before. When we read through Scripture, we know that Christ was baptized in the Jordan by John. We heard the passage read by Ishbel this morning. But Christ's own baptism was not completed until his physical death. In the Gospel of John, when Jesus is on the cross, what did he say? It is
finished.
That's when his own baptism was finished. And this means that everything that transpired in Jesus' ministry, all of the teaching, all of the healing, everything that he said and did, all of that was how he lived out his own baptism. And the same can be true for our lives, that everything that we are about can be how we live out our baptisms as well. And from birth until death, every day, every breath is meant to be used to live into the identity that we have as disciples of Jesus Christ. Right. So here's a quick question. We go back to the book of Genesis, the creation story. How many days of creation does Genesis talk about?
Six.
How many? Seven. 6 days of creative activity. And what did God do on the seventh day?
Rested.
Thank you. So we're looking here, and after service, I invite us to come up and take a look at this as well. But if you never really looked at the font carefully, Kylie, how many sides are on this font?
Eight.
Eight sides? Goodness, what could that mean? Why eight? Because in the Bible, seven is the perfect number. 7 days of creation we've talked about and all those sorts of things. But by having eight sides to the font here, it tells us that baptism, while rooted in this life, while completed in this life, it also points beyond this life into the life that is to come, the life that can only happen which once this life is complete. Okay? So Jesus' baptism, we are told, was completed upon the cross. But did his story end on the cross? The answer is no. His story did not end there. Jesus rose again and lives forevermore. So we can say that Jesus, in his baptism, lived through the 7 days of creation that we all experience as humans, but now lives into the eighth and eternal day of eternal life with God forever and ever. And in Romans chapter 6, the Apostle Paul tells us that each and every one of us, when we are baptized into the death of Jesus. Again, that may sound depressing, but it's not. Because Paul tells us if we are baptized into the death of Jesus, we are also being raised into new life, into the eighth and everlasting day symbolized on this eighth side of the baptismal font. There have been many times, I think, in my ministry that I've talked about Eugene Peterson, who recently passed away, and he was one who wrote the Message translation of the Bible, along with many other wonderful works. And when he passed away, his son, Eric, who's also a pastor, and who also actually married Heather and I, Eric presided at his own father's funeral, which is quite a thing to do. And you can find it online if you look for it, but it's worth watching in its entirety. But at the end of the service, and I have to demonstrate what Eric did. Eric was standing right about here. His father's casket was lengthwise this way. And he had a font, much like this one, right here in front of him. And at the end of the service, he said, "Eugene, my father, has now completed his baptism." And he took waters from the font, and he anointed the casket with the waters three times, of course. And it was one of the most beautiful moments I have ever seen in a worship service. And it drove it home for me about the nature and meaning of baptism, that our own baptisms are a lifelong journey, and they are not completed until we breathe our last breath here, and then are with God forever and ever. So each of us here, whether we have gone through these waters or not, each of us here as people of faith is on a baptismal journey. We might be at different points. We might be waiting to get into the water. We might have been dunked or sprinkled many years ago. We might be being baptized today. But we're all on the same path of discipleship. We all travel through the same waters. And today we have the privilege of bearing witness to the baptism of two individuals, Andy and his daughter Skye. So I would invite them, if they're willing, now to come forward for baptism. Would also invite Dean and Emma forward as godparents to bear witness to this. Skye, you look lovely today. Andy, you look very smart as well. Hear now the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, who said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them, immersing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Hear also these words from Scripture, from the Apostle Paul, who said, "As many of you as were baptized into Jesus Christ, you have clothed yourself with Christ. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave nor free, no longer male or female. For all of you have your true identity. You are one in Jesus Christ." So obeying now the words of our Lord Jesus, we recognize that in these waters of baptism, God claims us and seals us to show that we belong to him. And in Jesus Christ, he has freed us from sin and from death, uniting us forever with him by the power of his Holy Spirit, uniting us with Jesus Christ in his death and in his resurrection. And through this water and through the power of the Holy Spirit, we are joined together with the church throughout the ages, the whole body of Christ. So in this time, in this place, let each of us pause and remember with joy our own baptismal journeys with Jesus Christ. So on this day, on behalf of the session of this church, I would ask Andy and Skye, if you'd like to respond as well, to respond to the following questions. Andy and Skye, do you reaffirm faith in the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? If so, please say, "We do." Second question, do you reject Satan and his false covenant of sin? Do you turn again to Jesus Christ, accepting him as your Lord and Savior, trusting in his grace and love for you? If so, please say, "We do."
We do.
Today, do you both desire to be baptized into the Christian faith, being joined through these waters with other believers and with Christ Jesus himself? If so, please say, we do.
We do.
We do. Going forward, do you promise to live as parts of the greater body of the church, seeking support, strength, and wisdom from other believers, especially from your dear friends, Dean, Emma, and Brian, whom you have named as godparents for your baptisms today? And Brian cannot be here in person today, but he is very much with us in spirit. And along with Dean and Emma's support, we give thanks for his support and love for Andy and for Sky. And we pray for God's blessing to be upon you, Dean, and upon you, Emma, and also upon Brian, always. Now the fifth question for the entire church family, I would ask you to please stand as you are able. Do you all, as members of the Church of Jesus Christ, as fellow travelers in the ways and waters of baptism, do you promise to support Andy and Sky, to guide and nurture them by word and deed, with love and prayer, encouraging them however you can to know and follow Jesus Christ in their own lives? If so, please say, we do.
We do.
Please be seated. You're not alone in this, you see. Let us pray. We give you thanks, eternal God, for you nourish and sustain all living things by the great gift of water. At the beginning of all things, your Spirit hovered over the watery chaos, calling forth order and life. In the waters of the Jordan, Jesus himself was baptized by John and anointed with your Holy Spirit. And by the true baptism of his own death and glorious resurrection, Jesus has set us free from sin and death and opened the way to life eternal for us. We thank you, O God, for these waters of baptism and for the gift of your Holy Spirit. For in these waters we are buried with Christ in his death. From these waters we are born again and are raised to share in his resurrection. Amen. And come towards the fun. Andy, what is your full given name?
Andrew Keith Christie.
Andrew Keith Christie. I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Sky, what's your full name? Can you tell me? Do you know your full name? I heard your dad whisper it. Is it Sky Christie Taylor? We'll say that's it. Sky Christie Taylor. I baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, of the Holy Spirit. Andy and Sky, may the blessing of the triune God rest upon you both now and forevermore. As a sign of your baptism and welcoming into our church family of faith, we now sing our baptismal song together. The Lord bless you and keep you.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Andy, Sky, your baptismal journey has now begun. You have been enfolded into the covenant of grace between God and his people, and we rejoice with you fully in your baptisms. And as a sign of commemorating this day, we present to your godparents certificates commemorating your baptisms, so you remember this day always. You are called, you are claimed, you are redeemed, you are one with God's people, and one with Jesus Christ. May the Lord bless you both richly in the time that is to come. It's always a privilege to celebrate this sacrament together, both for the people being baptized and for us as well, to remember all of the ways in our own lives that God has been so faithful to us. And because God is faithful to us, we can serve him in turn. So in that spirit, we now sing our next hymn of praise, O Jesus, I Have Promised.
Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you that we can come together today to worship you and to hear more of your word. Thank you for your gift of the Holy Spirit and of baptism. We praise you for the seasons in nature, for spring rain to help the plants and crops grow. We pray for our farmers and those who support them. We praise you in the wild areas. Help us to value them and be at peace with your creation. We pray for people in the world where stability and power struggles continue to dominate their lives. We pray for the people of Sri Lanka, and particularly the Christian community, unable to forgive and who are following a path of revenge. Call out to them to turn away from evil and follow you. We pray for all those who are persecuted because of their beliefs, whether they are Christian or follow other peaceful creeds. Be with them and let them know that we share their hopes for freedom. Help and strengthen our society to counter regressive attitudes to religious freedom. We pray for those that govern us at local and national level, that they do so with good judgment for the benefit of all and for an equitable society.
As we come to the end of our Christian Aid Week, we thank you for the work of Christian Aid and all the activities that have happened across the country. We pray for their work around the world, their partner organisations, and the thousands of volunteers who give tirelessly to help others. Sustain them with your love as they continue to act on behalf of the poor and marginalised in the world. We thank you that the poor are recognised in our own community and that life-giving funds were raised unselfishly for those in need. Thank you for all the organisers, helpers and donations during the events here in Kemeny. As we bring our thoughts closer to home, we pray for those in our community who are under pressure. Particularly, we pray for young people currently going through exams. We also pray for the school teachers, invigilators, and parents. Help them to provide a calm and steady influence. We pray for the weak and vulnerable who are in our thoughts, particularly those who are not well or facing uncertainty. In a moment of silence, we pray for those close to our hearts. We ask for your support and guidance as we navigate the week ahead. Help us to decide the path that we are called to. As we await your return and the life that will be everlasting, we offer our prayers in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Ruth. It's not a typo at the end for the second hymn. Today, Kylie and I have talked about how baptism defines and surrounds our entire lives, our beginning, our becoming, and our ending. So as we started the service, so shall we end the service by singing baptismal hymn, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing.
Baptism now as a beginning, a becoming, and a continual journey as we go towards our completion. Go now in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.